Dr. Vanessa Ellen encourages women to truly learn the Bible.
The word says study to show thyself approved. It didn't say unless you're a woman. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you are more fueled to teach those babies the truth accurately.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For July 27th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
So happy to welcome to the studio today a new friend, Dr. Vanessa Ellen. Vanessa, you're here doing some recording with other Revive Our Hearts projects.
Yes, yes.
And I'm so glad somebody told me you were going to be here so that we could come and have this conversation.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
And we've kind of known of each other from a distance.
Yes.
You live in Houston, which is great in the Michigan winters.
Yes.
But in the summer, you'd probably rather be up here in Michigan.
Oh, yes, for sure.
My thought of Houston is in the summer, I can't do anything with my hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot,
for sure.
Humid,
very
muggy,
humid.
Houston.
Swollen, yes.
But when we're freezing up here in the winter, you guys are enjoying yourselves down there. And so grateful for our station partner, KHCB.
Yes, indeed.
And longtime relationship with them. And so many friends we have in Houston, friends of Revive Our Hearts since the earliest days. And you are very involved in ministering to women, teaching others to minister to women in the context of the local church and other ministries. So I just, since we're ministering to women through Revive Our Hearts, wanted to have a conversation with you about some of your observations, what you see happening in women's lives, concerns you, what encourages you.
Yes.
And I'd love to hear just a little bit about your story. You have a doctor in front of your name, and that means you've been in school a long time. And you are the chair of the Women's Ministry Department at Houston
College of Biblical Studies.
The College of Biblical Studies.
Yes.
And you're training women to go and be fruitful, which is what this ministry is about. Yeah. And but can you think back, like, did you grow up in the church?
I did. I grew up in the church. My mother and grandmother, you know, the rule was you could be wherever you wanted to be on Saturday night, but you must be in the church on Sunday morning. It wasn't about a relationship. It was church attendance.
So and your earliest memories are you're in church on Sunday.
All the time. My earliest memory is my grandmother gave me money to put in the offering as a child, and I stopped at the corner store and spent the money.
That was intended for the offering.
That was intended for the offering.
You probably didn't think you were stealing from the Lord.
I did not. She did, and I never did it again.
You got caught.
For sure, I got caught. The little local store owner knew my grandmother and told on me. So
you grew up in the church.
Grew up in the church, singing in the choir. I was even teaching women's ministry classes before I was saved.
Before you were saved?
Mm-hmm. Before I was saved.
Tell us just how you came to know that you weren't saved.
Well, I still had that old one foot in, one foot out. You know, you could have one foot in a club and one foot in a church and just living life any kind of way without really identifying with a relationship with God. Just the title of I'm a Christian, but not a lifestyle relationship with Him at all.
So you thought that was enough?
I don't even know that I thought about it. It was just tradition. It was the way of my family. It was the way of people I knew. There was really no real accountability to do anything different until one day I was singing in the choir, and I usually slept through the sermon. But one day I was awake, and I heard my pastor preaching on salvation, and that was the day that I got saved.
Wow. And you were how old?
I was 21.
21. Was there an awakening happening in your heart, a sense that maybe you really didn't have a relationship with Christ, or was just that moment?
It was that moment. Although even after that, I still tried to still live my old way. And I always tell the story when I go out and speak of how I was still trying to be in the club and trying to be in the church. And I remember one night I'd gone to the club and everybody's dancing and the lyrics were saying, you're going to hell. This is what I heard. And I asked my girlfriend.
The music that was playing at the club.
Correct. The music that's playing, everybody's dancing. I hear the lyrics saying, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. It's what I hear. I asked my girlfriend. She's like, that is not what they're saying. I literally picked up my purse and left and have not been in a club since then.
So at that point, your desires began to change,
yes.
Your interests.
Everything changed. But it did not come without mentorship, which is why I'm very big on that.
And what did that look like for you?
Oh, my pastor's wife, she just took me under her wings. And I even ended up living with them for a season and just taught me, I mean, literally taught me the word of God and how to live it, what it meant, what it didn't mean, you know, because sometimes we have traditionalism versus truth.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing for me. And it turned everything around in my life.
So I assume you started to stay awake during the sermons
at that
point.
Yeah, it was interesting then.
Probably catching up what you had been missing out on.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how when you have a relationship with Christ, your interests change, what you care about changes.
Completely.
So talk to me as a young woman. How did some of the women in the church or Christian women that you knew, what kind of impact did they have in your life?
Yeah, well, I don't know that the women in the church knew that I wasn't saved. I didn't even know that I wasn't saved. But as I began, I think I have an old soul because I have always been serving and I've always been teaching. And so I was still teaching women's ministry and I was being mentored by a lady in the choir, being mentored by my pastor's wife. And then some years later, I met my husband, but we were just friends and he counseled me. We became friends. And then later we got married and he was a preacher, wanted to be a senior pastor. And that was just a journey I didn't think I was ready for because I was a true sinner. Like everything I thought that God said don't do is everything I did. So I just kept thinking.
So you felt like that disqualified you?
Right. I just kept thinking that's not acceptable to be a pastor's wife now. You can't bring that past into it. And talked to a lot of different people who helped me to understand Christ and how he didn't hold that over your head once you are truly saved and set free.
Don't you think there are a lot of people who think that something in their past, their past baggage, keeps them from being able to be fruitful now? So how do you encourage that woman?
Yeah, I do. But I also believe that there are some Christians that still hold things over people's heads. I do think that there are places that a woman may encounter that she's still not able to do some things based on something in her past because of how someone's interpreting a text. So I encourage her to say what God has for you really is for you. It may not be that particular ministry. It may be another ministry, but God certainly will use you.
And he certainly has used, is using you.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes if it's not just in spite of your past, but also maybe because of some of the life lessons from your past.
Yes.
When you speak to young women and you're cautioning them or warning them about certain lifestyles or ways of thinking, you can say, I have some experience with what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I remember when I first started doing prison ministry, I was teaching to pregnant women who were incarcerated, but then, you know, they were pregnant. And I would go over and they wouldn't listen to me. They would sit with their arms folded to talk to me. And they'd call me church lady. And it was going nowhere. It was like bouncing words off a wall. And I remember one lady saying to me, "You don't understand what I've been through. You're just a church lady." And I stopped the lesson and just really gave my testimony to them. And by the end, they were like, "We would have never guessed. You're so cleaned up." And I was like, "But that's what God does. He takes us out of the life that we were living, being eternally separated from him, and puts us into this new world, these new positions, these new giftings. And that's going to happen for you as well." So that's what I tell them. And it was a great experience to speak to that. So, yes, my past allowed me to have an audience, and it still does.
I think the gospel isn't really good news to us unless we have a sense of what we needed to be rescued from, which doesn't just have to do with behavioral issues, but our hearts, our attitudes, our ways of thinking, our inclinations.
Amen.
And if we never have a sense of being lost and being desperately needy for Christ and being the objects of God's wrath because of our sin, then why would the gospel seem like good news?
That's right. I always say, I truly was a sinner in need of a savior. I truly identified with that.
Does it make you burden for people in the church today who may think they know Christ because they have religion, but they don't really have him?
Yes, indeed. We just did our graduation not long ago at the college, and a lady came running up to me, and she had taken our marriage and family class, and she said, "Remember me, remember me." And I actually did remember her, but she was a student who kept saying, "I can live any kind of way. I've got my ticket. I'm good." And she said, "I got saved in your class."
Wow.
She was halfway through her degree program. And came to know the Lord.
In women's ministry studies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
helps
exciting.
To be saved if you're going to help
it
others,
help.
Right?
Just a little. Yes.
Well, you're spending so much time, or you have over the years, not only serving women, but having a burden for women in the church, churched women and women in the church. As you look around the landscape today and you think of God's plan, his calling for women.
Yeah.
How do you encourage women? What do you see as God's vision, the story God wants to write through their lives? What are you eager to see happen in the lives of women as they're maturing in the church?
Well, one, I think that we need to remember that it's okay to study theology. You know, you mentioned that, yes, I do have a doctorate. It's so interesting how some in the world don't think we should study
theology. We as in women.
We as in women, that we should be trained. They always used to ask me, what are you going to do with that? Because I got my undergrad in biblical studies and then in a master's in biblical counseling. So I've been in Bible school all my schooling years. What are you going to do with that? You know, you're a girl, right? What are you going to do with that? So my first thing would be to say, you know, the word says study to show thyself approved. It didn't say unless you're a woman.
Yeah.
Where to study.
Or just for those who are going to be pastors.
Or if you're going to have full-time ministry jobs or something like mm-hmm. that. You know, you study because even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you are more fueled to teach those babies the truth accurately. You don't have to always be receiving a paycheck to go to school. It can be just for your edification and for the edification of your children. So that would be my first thing.
Let me just park there a second. So you're not just saying that women have permission to study the Bible and study theology, but it sounds like you believe that they have a responsibility.
Yes.
Whether it's formal education.
Exactly.
Advanced degrees mm-hmm. or not, that we really need to,
be
soaking in the Word.
Yes. And if you cannot do it in a formal academic way, then sit under someone. You know, go and just get into a good Bible study and really learn. Get in a good, solid church. Really learn
the
Word.
Read good books.
Read good books. Read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, bounce that baby on your knee and have a book in the other hand. Just keep learning God's Word, because we need to be able to speak truth to one another and not so much tradition.
What do you think are some of the consequences in our lives as women and in our churches if we're not getting our roots down deep into the Word?
I think part of the consequence is being carried away by every wind of doctrine. Every little thing that's out there will fall for it because we won't know truth. There will be all this error that we'll run into our social media lives, or maybe even our best friends, or the lady at the supermarket tells you something and you go, that sounds right, but you don't know if it's right. So I think the danger would be to be led astray by the evil one or by your own fleshly desires if you don't know the Word of God accurately.
And there's so much out there that can lead us astray, even in things that are called Christian, Christian media, Christian books, mm-hmm. so-called. Mm-hmm. There is such a need for discernment.
Oh, yeah.
How do we know, is this, and things that can lead us astray, they don't usually lead us astray because they're way off.
Yeah.
It's more because they're close to truth, but not quite truth. And I think of some of the best-selling religious books and authors today, and I'm going, where did that come from?
I know. Yeah.
But so many Christian women being taken in by some of that teaching because they don't know God's Word.
That's true.
So you, one of your drums you're banging is women get into the Word,
become
students of God's Word, and learn what it says, what it means, and how to apply it.
Exactly. And a lot of women will say to me, well, I don't really understand it. Open the Bible, and I don't understand it. Go to someone who does. This is why I'm back to mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, look for someone who is truly spiritually mature in their walk. Don't just pick any old woman in your church to mentor you. You know, examine her life.
You want to see fruit.
Yes. Make sure that she is walking uprightly with the Lord. And then sit with her. Walk with her. Study doesn't have to mean you write 15 papers, you know, 30 pages each. It just means learn of God so you can live of Him.
And in order to do that, there are probably some other pursuits that we won't have as much time for. Because we all have the same amount of time,
but
we live these crazy busy lives. Yeah. And I think it's easy to feel like with all I've got going on, with having kids, with having a job, with being involved in church, I just don't have time to get into the Word. But it's amazing how much time we have for social media.
Exactly.
For movies, for other things that aren't necessarily sinful, but are they sapping time and energy where we could be getting to know God's Word?
Right. And I don't think it takes 3 hours a day. You know what I mean? That's just me. I don't advocate that you need to be in the Word 3 hours a day. You may not have 3 hours. You may have five little ones running around the house. But, you know, I think that we can make time. We do make time for what's important to us. I think you can get your kids on a schedule to where, you know, you put them to bed at a certain time. You spend 30 minutes in the Word, you know, then spend another 30 minutes praying over what you read, asking God, how do I live out what I see here? You know, get up, rise early. Things you don't know, make a phone call. Ask someone, hey, I saw this word. What do you think it means? It just doesn't take a whole lot to really learn.
Well, and it takes building day upon day upon day, just the way you learn anything.
That's right.
You know, you don't learn some advanced subject by just go and take a crash course in
That's right.
You learn it by going to class day after day and finding somebody who knows more about it than you do.
That's for sure.
And saying, teach me.
Yeah. And I'm all about the local church. I mean, I think we need to get into a good Bible teaching, Bible believing church, and then go on a regular basis. That would be my next thing I would say, that I see a lot of casual church attenders, not true, strong churchmen per se, you know, or church women, women who are in the church, giving them their time, their talents, their treasures, and attending on a regular basis, because the word is there for you. He's breaking it down. There's Bible studies. There's that life interaction that happens in the church house, that accountability, yeah. the weeping with those who weep. Kind of hard to do through the television ministry.
Being a family.
Yeah.
We need connection with each other.
We do.
We need time together.
Yes.
And the statistics today are astounding in terms of how few times even people were considered regular churchgoers.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
yeah.
seldom they're in church.
Yeah.
It's like
right.
now, whatever, 2 times a month or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much where when I was growing up, there was Sunday school. There was
yes.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'm not saying all those specific
yeah.
programs
right.
have to be as they always were. But how can you build any kind of relationship with somebody that you're just barely rubbing shoulders
yeah.
with?
Every now and again.
Every now
there.
And again, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then they come back and they go, oh, we missed it. Yeah. My old pastor used to say, don't ask me if you missed anything when you didn't come to church, because every time the family meets, you're missing something.
Yeah. We need each other.
We do. That we do.
So think about church women, and we need to be in the Word, learning to know mm-hmm. who God is, studying the Word, being involved in the church,
mm-hmm.
and not just as consumers, not
right.
just expecting the church to feed me and meet my needs, but rolling up my sleeves
yes.
and plugging in, which looks different for different people in different seasons. But that's part of how we grow, too.
It is. It is. There's a little bitty book that we read called I Am a Church Member. I think it helps clear out some of the fog, because we go to churches expecting the choir to be a certain way. We expect the preacher to preach a certain way. We go for us consumers.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily go to give or to receive the right things. And so we come to church with these motives that are not always pure. So I love that that book plainly just says, really, what is a church member? I think that we need to go back and review that as
mm-hmm.
women and really
mm-hmm.
ask that. What does it mean to be a church member? Not a tender, but member.
Big difference.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Relationships,
okay.
women's relationships
yeah.
can get, even in the church,
yeah.
people who know Jesus, love Jesus,
yeah.
but there can be challenges,
yeah.
conflicts, struggles. Maybe that never happens in your church.
Oh, no. It happens all the time.
How does it happen?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, as a pastor's wife, I'm very familiar with it. I suffer with all pastor's wives and understand that there's just something about walking in those shoes. You are a target for whatever reason. Or now, if you're a leader of the women's ministry, there you go again.
You're
there's another place where you're a target. I think what happens is we have jealousy and envy of one another.
And it's not just among women who are leaders. It
no.
can just be any, I mean, going back to Philippians,
yes.
Euodia and Syntyche.
Please tell them to stop it.
Yeah, know? Right.
Yeah.
Tell them to get along with
yeah.
each other.
That it's.
What breeds division and
yeah.
contention in women's relationships?
I think it's disunity. And the Bible speaks of being unified with one another. And I think that we have a lot of selfish ambition. So we have jealousy and envy and all these other desires. And then we are intimidated, or sometimes I say it's like crabs in a barrel with women. We don't want each other to rise. So we keep pulling each other down. Oh,
that's vivid.
Yeah. We will not let each other get to a level where God is using us mightily. And oh, you let one get to the top. We're going to start a fire. See how quickly we can bring her down.
Wow.
That's horrible.
And in the process, we're bringing ourselves down, bringing all of us down.
And the glory of God.
Yeah.
What are we saying about the glory of God?
And you can see why people who don't have Jesus
yeah.
wouldn't be able to get along with each other.
Yeah.
But when it's in the church,
mm-hmm.
we're just, it's like missing what the gospel looks like
yes.
in relationships.
Yeah. And we function from a world system instead of a biblical system. So instead of me coming to you one-on-one, if I have an ought against you, which is the Bible tells us to do that, oh, I go write it on social media and tell the world that I have a problem with you.
Oh, now you're meddling.
Well, how does that solve anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is not how that's going to help. And so what I keep saying to the ladies in the church is, you know, if you really do have a concern, first check your preferences, because the issue may not be a sin. It may just be you rathered her do something a way she didn't do it. You know,
that's true in marriage. I mean, any relationship.
Oh, that's everywhere.
Check your preferences.
Oh, I've been married 22 years, and I tell you what, God's still telling me, toilet paper, it's okay for it to go this way.
Really?
I know. It's okay. That took years to clear up in my head.
You mean there's more than one way to load a dishwasher,
there's
too?
There's more than one way to close that cabinet. Yeah, it's tough. And so I just try to remind the ladies in my church, hey, first of all, check yourself. Find out if you're too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in love with you and you want everybody to be as in love with you as you are. And then if it really is a real issue, then take it to the person. Don't bring it to me. Let's not gossip, you know. And I love the way, you know, my husband has taught me to shut down gossip. If a lady comes to me about gossip, she says, oh, I had a problem with so-and-so. I say, oh, hold on. Hey, so-and-so, come on in here.
I think she'd want to know about this.
It shuts it down so fast.
But that's the way we need to handle
it.
We
need to.
Go to the person.
Yeah, go to the person.
I was involved in a church when I was in college where the pastoral staff, it was a large church, yeah, and there were a lot of different pastors, and they had a mutual, they called it a non-negotiable commitment,
wow,
to each other, that if someone came to them wanting to talk about one of the other pastors,
uh-huh,
they would do what you just
said.
That's right. And they would say, I'm sure so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so,
yeah,
would want to know,
yeah,
what's on your heart. So
mm-hmm,
do you mind if I just pick up the phone,
right,
and call him? And
mm-hmm,
boy, you're not going to go, you know, say something critical,
mm-mm,
to one of those pastors. They're going to have each other's back. They're mm-hmm going to support each other. Shouldn't it be that way in our families and in the,
yeah,
family of God?
It brings it down, but it still exists. I am taking my women's leadership team through a book called Leading Women Who Wound, because we had a situation last year, and I don't think that they were equipped to handle it. And so I told them, I this is my fault, I think. I think maybe I didn't prepare you for real life ministry where this happens. So I want to walk them through what happens, because you have different levels of maturity that come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hurt people hurt.
Yeah.
And we need to recognize when there is a hurt individual that's coming through the door and how to handle that biblically.
And in such a way that we're seeking their restoration.
Yes.
Not just seeking to be right,
yes,
or to be heard.
Yes.
But you're right. With all the woundedness,
yes,
and people dealing with now just multiple generations,
mm-hmm,
of abuse, of sexual promiscuity,
yes,
of sins against them,
yeah,
of broken,
yeah,
families and not being parented and,
yeah,
being abandoned. You bring all that into adulthood, and then you walk in the church and you think,
yeah,
all of a sudden you're going to be this mature,
yeah,
Christian woman. You're not.
Yeah.
But we need the relationships of grace,
yeah,
that are willing to make space,
yeah,
and room for. I'm on a thread with a number of women,
mm-hmm,
a text thread, who just come from all different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, at any given point, at least a few of us have something major going,
yeah,
on in our,
yeah,
lives.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really messy.
Yeah,
I've been following that thread this morning, and there's one of our sisters in that group who is just, actually there are two who are experiencing, well, now that I think about it, there are four of them,
oh, wow,
and they're all very different stories,
yeah,
but they're all dealing with, one just lost her dad, and it was,
mm,
a long, hard, slow death. Another's dealing with some baggage from her,
wow,
past, another with major illness,
yeah,
in her family,
yeah,
and these things are hard, but I love how they come around each other,
mm-hmm,
and they pick each other up,
yeah,
and they're one saying, can we send flowers to so-and-so,
yeah,
today? And,
mm-hmm,
and they're writing out their prayers for each other. And there's,
wow,
there's just like a spirit to say, how can we,
yeah,
lift up this sister and,
yeah,
these sisters and one another? Because, you know, if you're not the one hurting today, you are going to be,
yes,
around the corner.
Exactly.
And you're going to want these women doing that for,
yeah,
you. But that's kind of the mindset of, we are a family.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to stab each other.
That's right.
And we have differences in,
mm-hmm,
this group, as in any group, as in,
yeah,
my marriage,
mm-hmm,
and yours. So we're not saying there aren't differences.
Right.
We're saying we're going to love each other well.
Yes.
We're going to protect each other. We're going to help each other become all God wants us to be.
Yeah. And can we embrace the differences?
Yeah.
You know, does everyone have to be as clean and shiny as you think they should be? Can we accept one another as God is sanctifying us? You know, understanding no one's ever going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But when we enter those relationships, just embracing that there's going to be some imperfections there. We're a little scratchy. It's okay.
And isn't it pride that causes me to think you're the,
yeah,
one who's got all this,
oh, yeah,
all the rough,
yeah,
edges,
mm-hmm,
and me,
right,
I'm the mature,
that's right,
one. You know, we put everybody else's faults under a microscope,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and put ours under a telescope.
Yes.
And that's pride, right?
Yeah. Isn't it that the log in the eye versus the speck?
Exactly.
Yeah. And we can't see, but we keep knocking people down with the log. But we don't see it. We don't see it. I think, too, you mentioned bringing all this baggage to the church. A lot of us have been taught things that are untrue. This is why I'd use your book, Lies Women Believe, because we believe so much stuff that's just not true.
Yeah.
And once we can get them, first we need to get them in the kingdom, right? Give them the gospel, get them saved, and the Lord saves them. And then get them in the church, and then we can start saying, okay, well, I know what you taught. I know what you thought. I know what maybe mama or grandmama or someone says, but can I just show you where that might not be truth? And they're set free.
And that's a process. It's a lengthy
process.
And we all need it in our lives.
Yes.
We need to be on the giving and receiving end of that.
Someone did it for me.
Someone's done it for me, and they keep doing it.
That's right.
And we've run out of time on this conversation.
Oh.
It went so fast, but I want to bring you back on the next program. And just, we have the honor of sitting with a wise woman here, and I want to just hear some more of your wisdom and thinking about, I want to go to that verse in Proverbs 14 about a wise woman versus a foolish woman.
Yes.
And the difference in the ways our lives impact others. So when we come back on Revive Our Hearts, we'll be hearing from Dr. Vanessa Ellen.
Thank
again.
You so much.
Thank you.
Those are some wise words from some wise mentors, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth and Dr. Vanessa Ellen. Their conversation is part of our month-long series on practical wisdom for life here in July. So, do you want to be wise? James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, I've actually been reciting that verse this month and begging God to give generously. We sure do need wisdom in these difficult days. But what a sweet reminder. God loves to give it, and generously. Now, we see his wisdom in the written word, the Bible, and in the living word, Jesus, who is wisdom in the flesh. So any wisdom not directly based on God's word, in conformity to the spirit of Jesus, is not godly, true wisdom. That's why we have to be careful to measure everything against the standard of scriptures. Well, Mark DeMoss has done that so beautifully in his book, The Little Red Book of Wisdom. I've mentioned before that it's a favorite around the Gresh home, and yes, it does line up with the Word of God. This month, you can have a copy of The Little Red Book of Wisdom when you give a gift of any amount to support the work of Revive Our Hearts. It's our way of thanking you for your donation. Simply ask for the book on wisdom when you contact us to give. To do that, just visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Now, do me a favor. Can you picture a crane? You know, that's a big machine with a variety of uses. It can lift heavy things and speed up the construction of tall buildings. Or, if it has a wrecking ball suspended from it, that crane can be used in demolition work. So tomorrow, we're going to think about how our cranes are being used to build up or to tear down. Dr. Vanessa Ellen will be back to help us discern the difference. Thanks for joining us today, and please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Pointing you to your Bible, Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.